أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وبه نستعين وهو خير موفق ومعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. قال الله الحكيم في محكم كتابه: قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي إنما إلهكم إله واحد، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
People in this life, in this world, lead their lives based on the perception and the vision they have of their destination, of their goal, of their end. Those who view this world as their end, who don't see an afterlife, who don't believe in a spiritual life, they spend all their resources for this life. They do everything for this life. They get up early every morning, go to work, spend all their energy in making money, and then they use that money to enjoy the pleasures of this life, and that's the end of it for them. Now, obviously, as Muslims, we believe in an afterlife. We believe that there is a spiritual life as well. We believe that there is a hereafter. We believe that life is not restricted to this material world. That is obvious. But exactly what that spiritual life leads to, exactly what the shape and nature of that afterlife is, that's a question that we need to consider. As a general idea, we know there's an afterlife, we know that there is a hereafter, we know that there's a spiritual life, but exactly what shape that spiritual life will take, exactly what end that spiritual life will lead to, that's something we need to consider. There are many terms and many descriptions that the Quran uses to describe the hereafter and to describe life after death and to describe the end of humankind. The reason that there are multiple descriptions is, on the one hand, people are different in their understanding and their level of comprehension, and therefore God, who sends down the Quran, is obliged to offer descriptions that conform to the understanding of the various people. So there are different descriptions in the Quran regarding what the precise end is in the hereafter. The frequent description that we often get in the Quran is that paradise is a very sensual place. Gardens full of trees. In these gardens, there are streams that flow, There are very delicious food. There are houdis. So the general description that we have of paradise is a very sensual description. And this is the description that fits the understanding of most people. Yet, there is another description. In fact, there are other descriptions that the Quran uses to describe the afterlife. One of those other descriptions is liqa'ullah. Liqa'ullah. To meet God. To meet God. To see God. To encounter God. Liqa'ullah appears in the Quran over 20 times. Liqa'ullah. The Quran tells us that those who do not believe in liqa'ullah are the unbelievers. So all believers are expected to believe in seeing God and encountering God. One particular verse in this relation is the verse that I read at the beginning of this of my speech today. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Say, I am a human being like you. It has been revealed to me that there is only one God. And those who wish to see their Lord, seeing their Lord, they should do righteous deeds. The reports related from the Ahlul Bayt, from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, and the supplications related from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, suggest and indicate that liqa'ullah is the highest spiritual level that one can attain. In Munajat al-Sha'baniyyah is a very spiritually enlightening supplication that we read during the month of Sha'ban. Imam Khomeini has described this munajat as one that he really enjoys reading. It's very interesting that it is one of the few supplications in the corpus of Shia devotional literature that has been identified as having been read by Amirul Mu'min by all the imams after him. So it's a very special munajat, and those who read it will notice that it's filled with very high and deep spiritual truths. Okay, because, you know, when we go through the supplications related from the Ahlul Bayt, they differ a great deal in their content and their level of spirituality. There are certain supplications that are more that cater to our material needs. But there are certain supplications like Munajat al-Sha'baniyyah that one can tell by reading them that they are geared at the highest level of human spirituality. Munajat al-Sha'baniyyah is one of them, and it's really spiritually rewarding to read this Munajat during the month of Sha'ban and pay attention to the meaning. One of the passages in Munajat al-Sha'baniyyah reads, Elahi, habli kamal al-inqita' ilayk. O my God, O my Lord, please grant me absolute severance from all other than you. Make me such that I would sever all ties from all else but you. I would only be cognizant of you. وَأَنِرْ أَبْصَارِ قُلُوبِنَا بِالْضِيَاءِ النَّظَرِهَا إِلَيْكِ. And enlighten the eyes of our hearts with the light of seeing you. With the light of seeing you. So this supplication signifies that, and it's coming out of the mouth of Imam Ali and the Amin, all of them read it, that their top priority, their highest aspiration was to see God, was to view God, was to encounter God, was to behold the beauty and jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a beautiful riwayah, and it's a riwayah that urafa and masters of akhlaq cite in relation to the topic of Allah and how important it is and how pleasurable it is. How Allah, in addition to being the highest spiritual level, the highest level of spiritual perfection, is by the same token the source of the most pure and highest pleasure that humankind can experience, laqa Allah. The riwaya is related by Shaykh al-Saduq in his Ilal al-Shara'i. It's about Hazrat al-Shu'ayb. Hazrat al-Shu'ayb was the prophet of Madian and the father-in-law of Hazrat Musa. So the riwayah goes as follows. The prophet says that Prophet Shu'ayb, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The Prophet of Islam says that Shu'ayb cried from the love of God. Baka Shu'ayb min hubbillah hatta amiya. Shu'ayb cried and cried until he went blind. Faraddallahu alayhi basarah. God returned his eyesight. But he cried again. Again he lost his eyesight. Again God returned his eyesight. Again he cried and cried and cried for the love of God. This was repeated four times. After four times of Shu'ayb crying and weeping and losing his eyesight and God returning his eyesight, God speaks to him. Ya Shu'ayb, ila mata yakunu hadha abadan mink? Until when do you want to continue this? Iyakun hadha khawfan min an-nar faqad ajartuk. If you are crying in anticipation of paradise, I have granted it to you. If you are crying in fear of hell, I have saved you from it. So why are you crying? قَالَ إِلَهِ وَسَيِّدِي. Shu'ayb replies, O my God, O my Master, أنت تعلم أني ما بكيت خوفا من نارك ولا شوقا إلى جنتك، ولكن عقد حبك على قلبي فلست أصبر أو أراك. Oh God, you know I do not cry out of fear for hell. I do not cry in anticipation of paradise. I cry because my heart is full of your love, and because I cannot wait until I see you. حتى أصبر أو أراك. I am restless until I see you. So the pleasures of paradise for Shraib is nothing. The pleasure of he is at such a spiritual level that for him what is pleasurable is to see God, to behold God, to view and set eyes, the eyes of the heart, on the beauty of God. Ayatollah Bahjat, rahmatullah alayh, you all probably know him. He once said that if the kings of the world knew the pleasure in praying, they would leave their kingdoms, they would leave their dominion, they would leave their power and run to perform prayers. Now, why don't we enjoy the same pleasure in our prayers? It's because Ayyub Bahjat is at a level that in his prayers he experiences love of Allah. He sees the beauty of God. And so for him, prayers are pleasurable. For us, prayers are an incumbent. Prayers are something we have to do to get out of our way. For Ayyub Bahjat, that is not the case. He views the face of God in his prayers. And so for him, prayer is the most pleasurable thing in this world. So what exactly is Lughullah? That is the big question. What exactly is Lughullah? To view God, to view God's face. An-nadharu ila wajhi Allah. What is that? Obviously we cannot see God with our eyes. So is this a purely figurative expression to see God? Is it, are the verses of the Quran referring to the blessings of paradise figuratively as viewing the face of God? Is that the case? What is Lughullah? What is seeing the face of God that is so pleasurable for the awliya Allah, for the friends of God? Lughullah, brothers and sisters, is another name for ma'rifatullah, for knowledge of God, for knowing God. But not any knowledge of God, not knowledge that comes through learning, say, philosophy, not knowledge that comes through learning Irfan al-Nazari. That does not lead to Lughullah. Knowledge of God leads to Lughullah only when it comes through ma'rifatun nafs, through knowing oneself. قال رسول الله من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. One who knows oneself knows God. But what does that mean? Again, it doesn't, it tells us what the direction is, but it doesn't solve the problem. How can knowing oneself us human beings. How can knowing oneself lead to knowledge of God and then lead to laqa'ullah? The answer is in the Quran. Verse 172 of Surah A'raf. It's one of those very difficult verses in the Quran. One of those very disputed and contentious verses in the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. And when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their children, and made them bear witness against themselves, saying, Am I not your Lord? And they said, Yes, we bear witness. Lest they should say on the day of judgment that they were ignorant of this. This verse is usually interpreted, as indicating some primordial world before this world that is called Alam Azar. In this Alam Azar, we saw God somehow. We bore witness to the existence of God. And that's why here God says that we have no excuse on the day of judgment to say that we did not know God. That's how it's usually understood. That's how it's usually interpreted. But that is not an accurate, and that is not the accurate interpretation. That is not the correct understanding of this verse. There has been no alam-e-zar in the sense of there being a primordial world preceding this world. The riwayat that talk about alam-e-zar are describing the truth. Are describing a truth in a figurative language, so that those who have the appropriate intellectual level of understanding could infer what the true meaning of the verse is. So as Ayatollah Misbah Hafizahullah explains in relation to this verse, what this verse is actually saying is not that there used to be some primordial world that is called Alam Azar. This verse is actually referring to the relation between the world, between the humankind and God. As I mentioned yesterday, we need to picture the world as a hierarchy of existence. A hierarchy of existence encompassing multiple levels of existence that is constantly being emanated from God. That this is how the world is. The world is a hierarchy of existence emanating from God. God is bestowing existence on the world and on humankind constantly. God is the cause. God is the existentiating cause, and we are the effect. God is constantly giving existence to us. And therefore, our existence, as the philosophers explain, our existence is existentially connected to God. The way we see the world with our material eyes is to see disjointed and disconnected objects and persons and beings. That's how we see the world with the eyes of our heads, with our physical eyes. But the way the world actually is one whole unified existence emanating from God. The very existence, the very essence of this world is its connection to God. And so what that means is that in the deepest recesses of our hearts, we are aware of God. This knowledge is subconscious. This knowledge is subliminal. But it's there. Why? Because we are connected to God. Our existence is عين الربط إلى الله. Our existence is the pure connectivity of our existence to God. That's the essence of our existence. We are connected to God. And therefore, on a subliminal level, on a subconscious level, we are aware of God. So when the Prophet says, "Man arafa nafsah faqad arafa rabbah," one who knows oneself will know his Lord, he is referring to this truth. Those who go beyond their material existence, delve into their spiritual existence, that comprehension of the spiritual dimension of our existence leads to ma'rifatullah, and from there to laqaullah. It's a very different way of seeing things. And it requires a lot of work to actually obtain this vision. Inshallah, we'll talk about how that vision can actually be obtained in following sessions, inshallah, and following speeches, inshallah. So ma'rifatun nafs, that leads to ma'rifatullah, is comprehension of our real self, that is connected to God. We should not see ourselves as disjointed. We should not see ourselves as individual human beings scattered over all the world, just as all the other objects. No, everything in this world is connected to God. Everything in this world is related to God. Not in a figurative way. That's the important. Not in a figurative way. In a true and genuine way, everything is connected to God. And therefore, if we realize that aspect of ourselves, we gain knowledge of God, and we will be able to, inshallah, behold the beauty of God. And this is the truth that Imam Sadiq refers to in the riwayah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The report that is related in Al-Kafi. Innama shi'atuna ashabul arba'ata al-a'yun. Our Shias, our true Shias, are those who have four eyes. Our true Shias are those who have four eyes. Aynan fi al-ra's wa aynan fi al-qalb. Two eyes on the head and two eyes in the heart. Ala al-khala'iq kulluhum kadhalik illa anna Allah 'azza wa jalla fataha absarakum wa a'ma absaruhum. All people are like that. All people have that awareness of God in them. But it is only the true Shias who remove the veils that blind humankind to God. It is only the Shias, the true Shias, the true believers, who can remove the veils and therefore open up those two eyes of the heart, open up the vision of the heart, and therefore gain ma'rifatullah, gain knowledge of God. and thereby set eyes on the beauty of God. We ask God by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Prophet, by the right of the 14 sacred personages, that He would help us remove the veils that blind the eyes of our hearts, inshallah ta'ala. That they would help us open our eyes to the beauty of God and to see the beauty of God, so that we could dissociate ourselves from the world and attain to the spiritual perfection for which God intended us, inshallah ta'ala. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.